I'm gonna try to go deep like this.
Absolutely love it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it is Matt and Tiger here with BLS, Books, Life, and Stuff, coming at you, coming in hot. With me always is Blanket Man, and he doesn't want to talk tonight. He listened to a playback, and he's insecure about his voice. So can I get a hip hip hooray to cheer him up? He's like Tinkerbell. He needs the attention. So I'm bummed out. I think he has a wonderful voice. And he has a face for radio. Welcome to the show, Mr. Matty Moe.
What's up? Sorry, I'm gonna try to talk from my diaphragm because I literally listened to the playback yesterday and I absolutely hated my voice.
Some people
hated.
Thank you, genetics. Some people say that's like a weird disorder though. Whenever you hate your voice.
Man, it's crazy. And I'm looking at myself right now because I'm trying to go on Meerkat and Periscope, and man, it's not looking too good.
Could you say Meerkat, like M-U-R, just for fun? Like, I'm sitting on Meerkat, just hanging out on Meerkat, doing what I do. Tonight, guys, we're going to review Chapter Dos of a book that I can't see, so I can't think of the
name. Today, Junior.
Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Great book. My favorite book. Matt doesn't really care for it. So we'll get into that. But first, let's talk about a few other things. We were just discussing before the show went live. Because we are live. And we want you to call in. I'm opening up the chat right now. So if you want to join in with chat, feel free. I've also tweeted out the phone number. If you want to call in, please do, because we would enjoy it. Enjoy it if you do.
There's something I want to talk about real quick. Talked to a friend today, and he was like, hey, Matt, when is the best time to take the leap in life? And I looked right at him, and I said, right fucking now.
Oh, he did say that, too. And I was like, I said, Matt, I said, what's holding you back? What fears are holding that guy back? Why hasn't he left? You know, you live once. What are you going to do? You going to live forever? So hopefully he listens to the show. Hopefully he listens to that advice. You're not going to live forever. Jump, my friend. Hold your nose because here goes the cold water. My homie Eminem told me that. So, Matt, how's your day before we get started on books?
Hey, man, my day is fantastic. I woke up above 6 feet today, got to do what I love, which is talk to you and do the show. Absolutely.
We did talk a lot today.
Best day of my life. Yeah, we did. 10 hours.
Best day of my life. We did.
And you know what's so amazing?
10 hours.
Is that
I would rather talk to you for 10 hours and have a handful of $100 bills.
Ooh. That's tough. You know what I'd rather have than a handful of $100 bills? Knowledge, because I can get more than just a handful.
No, very true, my friend. Very true. You know, that's tell the story real quick before we get started about a guy at the gym today came up to you. Matt and I went to the gym at the same time, different locations. I'm down in Grant near the Texas border, and he's up in Topeka, Kansas. And we text each other like, hey, you going to the gym? And then call you when I'm done. But Matt, when I got done, we were walking out at the same time, and he was upset about something. And I said, Matt, what's got you bugged out? And tell him what the guy at the gym today gives your book bag.
Well, see, the guy at the gym today, I always come in with a book because I get on, if I'm feeling lazy, I'll get on the bike or the elliptical and I'll read. So today I was feeling a little bit lazy because I worked out at lunch. I had my book with me. It's I'm looking at the title right now. How to Deliver a TED Talk, because that's one of my goals, is to do a TED Talk this year. And he looked at me, and he was like, dude, how can you afford all these books? And I'm just like, first of all, I get them at discount. Second of all, how are you talking to me when you have an iPhone, you're wearing Jordans, and you have name brand stuff, bro? And you say you can't afford it. Get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. You got all that stuff and you can't afford books.
Beat it, nerd.
That's what he told me.
You know, I love that you say that because you could also go to the library. How do you afford all those books? Well, get a library membership. You know what that costs you? That costs you a little bit of your time. But reading the book costs you a little bit of time. But what you gain in knowledge is worth it because it's time management. You need to risk and reward. You know, you give up this much time, you gain this much knowledge. You give up this much time, you gain a pair of Jordans. It doesn't matter.
Now, this is the thing.
Focus on things that matter.
A very wise man told me one time, he said, books are just words until you put them into action. And thank goodness I heard that when I heard it, because now that we have came up with an idea last year and we put it into action, we have this amazing podcast. We're going to develop a website in, I would say, less than 4 months. We've already started talking about branding. We're actually putting it into motion because we took those words and we are using them. We're not just letting them sit on the shelf. Because if they sit on the shelf, they're not going to do anything. So put them into action.
Sure. Sure. You know what? You can own every book you want. Listen, I told you. Look, nobody likes Tai Lopez like I like Tai Lopez. Matt will tell you that. I'm a big fan, legitimate fan. But he did something today that I did not like. I saw on his Facebook that he showed a receipt on Snapchat on how much money he spent at the airport, at the bookstore in the airport. It was like $496. I mean, shy of $500. And he was like, some people say, Ty, why do you spend so much money on books? $496.18 is too much money to be spending at the airport bookstore in the airport. And I was like, yeah, it is. That is ridiculous. He's bragging. He's being braggadocious. He's showing off. There's a way to get that message through that you need to spend that kind of money without doing it the way he did. I was very unhappy with that post. Not unhappy in a hater standpoint. I was unhappy because you don't need to spend $500 on books at one time. You can only read one book at a time. Secondly, thoroughly. I mean, he's given some secrets into how he reads a book a day. He doesn't read the whole book. If he reads 5 pages of that book a day, he says, well, I read a book today, not the whole book. He doesn't specify how much of a book he reads in a day. He just says, I read a book a day. And he'll say, and he's given some of his secrets that say, like, in the morning, he reads a health book. He'll read one chapter of a book while he eats breakfast. And then at lunch, he'll read a self-help book. He reads a chapter while he's at, you know, eating lunch. And then at bedtime, when he's going to sleep, he'll read a philosophy book, one chapter. So technically, he's only read 3 chapters in a book. But he could get away with saying, I read 3 books today. Okay? Now, if he wanted to be more honest, he could say, I read out of 3 books today. But he easily could say, I read 3 books today. Which is correct. So you don't need to do that, especially if you only have $500 in your bank account. Don't go buy $500 worth of books. That's stupid. That's horrible advice. That would be horrible for you to do. And there's cheaper ways to buy it. Amazon.com. Buy your books secondhand. Buy them in paperback form. Buy them in audio form. Rent them at a library. There's a way to get your hands on this knowledge without spending $500 at the most expensive place to buy it. Barnes & Noble in an airport is going to be more expensive than Barnes & Noble up the street from your house. So just be conscious on where you spend your money. Money is very hard to get your hands on. Please don't waste it. That's my thoughts on that. What is your thoughts on it?
Hey, buddy, this is my thought. So as I'm loading a picture up to Instagram, I love reading. So this is what I do. I grab a 97-cent notebook from Walmart or the dollar store or wherever I can find them, the composition notebooks. I go to the library. I read the books, and I take out what's important, and then I put them in my notebook. And once I'm done with a notebook, which I go through a notebook a month because of all my ideas, I put it on my shelf, and I label it. So I am a big tightwad. I don't like to spend a lot of money. So if I can get something out of the book, I'll just return it. No big deal. But Tiger, he buys the books and keeps them on shelves. And I go to the library. I go to Goodwill. I go to garage sales. And then the cheap person in me, I just go to Barnes & Noble and read and take notes, and then I put it back on the shelf.
I don't subscribe to that, guys. I don't subscribe to that, which is a great idea. No, it's not funny. It's a great idea. But Ty Lopez says when he goes to billionaires' houses, there's one thing they all have in common. What is it?
Oh, huge library. Huge library.
Massive
but
library.
If you're doing it that way, I have a massive library.
Yeah, that's great. But I want these books, and I'm going to have them because I have children. You don't. I want my children to read these books someday. So this library will be utilized throughout generations. So it's worth it for me to buy them in physical form.
You know what's really cool is Eric Thomas.
Can you tell me you love
about
me?
Eric Thomas talks about being in class one day, and he goes to an Asian guy, and he's like, hey, I'm not great at math. And he says, you know where I'm from? Whenever you don't make good grades and you don't become great in academic-wise, you mess up the whole dynasty. And that's what I want to teach my kids and teach everyone else around us, that we're a dynasty. Whatever knowledge you have is going to be passed down to generation to generation to generation. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I don't like about that also? A great story, too, because it gives me a chance to tell this, is a belief system. We accomplish what we believe. And when someone says, I'm not good at math, or I don't have a language or an ear for language, you'll never be able to do it. If someone says, oh, I'm not good at learning languages, you'll never learn how to speak another language. And those of you who say, I'm just not a math person, I don't understand math, you'll never figure math out. Never tell yourself that you're not good at something.
Right. Just a quick story. Me in college, man, I was not the smartest. I have failed and dropped out of so many universities. You can ask Tiger this.
Sure.
And I was so determined this past time, I was like, you know what, I'm going to be at that office every day the doors are open, and I was. And I still barely passed with the skin of my teeth. Now, you said something about belief. Man, we haven't even got into chapter 2 yet, but let me talk on
this.
We'll
get there. We got a lot of time.
This is on Facebook today. It's Conor McGregor and his wife. He's like, I had a wife. She believed in me. This is great, wonderful. You got to have someone to believe in you. You're going to get the real Matt right now. That's fucking bullshit. No one else has to believe in it. You have to believe in it. For anything to happen, you have to believe in it. Not anyone else. That dream was not given to them. It was given to you. So the most important person that needs to believe is you. Okay, we'll go ahead. I think that
belief is the most
important. BS.
Sure, but look, what he's doing is being philosophical and earning brownie points with women across the world, you know, and his girlfriend. It's very nice that he said that, but you're right. It had nothing to do with her. It had to do with the 10,000 hours he spent in a gym, and it had to do with his desire, his belief, and his passion. Nothing to do with her. And her belief in him. He's just sharing credit.
Right.
He's being humble. But one thing, guys, is do me a favor. Never say you're not good at something. Never say you're not good at math. Don't say that you're not good at learning a language, because you are. You're great at all of those things. And just remember, believe it, too, because belief is powerful. So just remember, guys, have a belief in yourself and push forward, but buy some books. in my opinion, buy some books. You're going to get a lot out of them. You'll grow from it. And it's a great thing. I love books. There's so much knowledge in books. It's like how, it's like learning something from someone that knows something more than you, and you're not able to have a conversation with them, so you read what they write down. I don't think that, you know, Ty Lopez says read a book a day and become a millionaire. You know, he alludes to that. I don't quite believe that, but I don't think it hurts. I sure do think it's a good idea to read a book a day, and we don't read a book a day here. But what we do is we read a chapter a day. So let's look at chapter 2 of Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Matt, I went first on chapter 1. You go first on chapter 2, and then I want to see what you highlight in the book, and then we'll come back and see what I highlight. But let's remember, the principle from chapter 1 was don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Matt, what did you highlight this time?
Well, I highlighted a lot. So, chapter number two, it's all about showing love to other people. Now, there is no other way. Now, he talks about that the desire is to be important. You could argue that by Maslow's theory about the number one thing is food, safety, love. But I think he got it right when everybody needs to feel important. Everybody loves compliments. To me, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be accepted. We're always striving to be accepted. Accepted in school, accepted in your family, accepted in your relationships, accepted at work. That feeling of importance. To me, that's what I really got out of this book. Now, I remember back in the day, we felt super important. And when we felt important, man, we shined. We really did. How did you feel about that back in the day when we felt important?
Anytime. Still today, if I feel important, I show up more. I feel dependent on. Yesterday, you know how important this show is to me. And you said, hey, I'm setting up a show. Hey, the show is going to go live at this time. And then we missed the show. And
right.
All I said was,
because
okay.
It was your fault.
And then you were like, no, 100% your fault. And then you responded with, I'm really sorry, man. And then I didn't respond because I started doing other things. And then you sent back something. You said, I feel awful. The reason you felt awful was you know how important this is to me, and you missed it. It's not the end of the world that you missed it. It's not even something to harp about. You know, you got lost in something else. Your time management slipped away from you, and other things came up. I mean, it's perfectly fine. None of us are perfect, but you felt a sense of responsibility for missing something that you know was important to someone else and important to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's neat. I think people can hear that. People can hear that when you make false promises, you feel terrible, and you don't like feeling that way. But when you feel important and you show up, like tonight, you feel important because it's important to me that you show up. I rely on you showing up. So you showed up tonight, and I'm thrilled. You're thrilled. And it made you feel important because I need you on the show. I cannot do it without you. So every time we do this show, you develop a sense of pride. You feel needed. You feel wanted. And that makes you feel important.
You know what a really good example is? Talking about the book, he said about his father, he says the hogs didn't care about the ribbons they had won, but his father did. The feeling of importance that you get of not only accomplishing something or you fit in with your group at work, what is giving you a feeling of importance? But we just went over that, so that's really good. Another thing that really stood out to me is giving people attention. I used to have this quote that says, I love attention, any kind of attention, good attention.
I love attention, too. Ooh-wee. You're willing to give me attention, guess who's willing to take it?
Exactly, good attention. Now, I say that in a joking manner because to me it's not true anymore. I don't want negative attention. I don't want derogatory attention. I don't want anything bad, because whatever you put out, you're going to get back. And I don't want any of that. And then he talks about insanity. But what is it? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, trying to get different results. So if you're stuck in that diet, if you're stuck in that relationship, you're crazy, because you're doing it over and over and over again, and you're not getting any results. So you need a lifestyle change. You need to rewire, reawaken, and rebuild your mind. And this, I was really happy to read chapter 2. Of course, there's so much more to get into. Praise. You got to be sincere. You got to appreciate. Just like today, we're talking about Papa John's. We're talking about Sam Walt, how he treated the janitors like he treated the CEOs. They were all a part of his family, and that's what made Walmart so successful, is because of the appreciation and love that he showed them. Now, what is the difference between appreciation and flattery? Well, one is sincere, and the other one is insincere. Which one do you think is sincere,
sure,
my friend? Appreciation. Appreciation is. Because it comes from the heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Appreciation. To me, flattery is just telling the other person what they think about themselves. So I'm like, hey, Tiger, you are beautiful. You already think that about yourself. So be sincere with people. Be very sincere. Now, I'm going to end with this quote. It says, every man I met is my superior in some way. In that way, I learn from him. That's good. We always tell you to talk to somebody outside your realm, because they know something more than you. It could be just a little thing. It could be something great. Okay, that's all I got, bro. That's all I got.
Ooh, I love it. I've got a lot more than you.
You always
so we're gonna dive in. I really, well, sorry, man. But it's not fair. I've read this book before, and this is my favorite book of all time. Okay, so it's not fair. There's only one way under high heaven. There's only one way under high heaven to get anybody to do anything. Did you ever stop to think of that? Yes, just one way, and that is by making the other person want to do it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You need to really listen what he's saying there. There's only one way under high heaven to get anybody to do anything. Did you ever stop to think of that? Yes, just one way, and that is by making the other person want to do it. When people think it's their idea, and when people want to do things, they generally do it. When they think you want to, people have that authority complex. When you want them to do something, they're not going to do it just in spite of you. Remember, there is no other way. So the only way to get them to do it is strictly by making them think it is their idea, and then they will do it because they'll think it's their own free will. The only way I can get you to do something is by giving you what you want. Okay? Everybody likes a compliment. All right? So start complimenting people, but make it genuine. Make it real. Okay, Matt just talked about that in the flattery versus, what was it, Matt?
Being sincere, the flattery versus being sincere.
Flattery versus sincere. Make your compliment sincere. Okay, this desire made Rockefeller amass millions. This desire made Rockefeller amass millions that he never spent. This desire makes you want to wear the latest style, drive the latest car, and talk about your brilliant children. Okay?
Let's see what else.
Some authorities declare that people may actually go inside or go insane in order to find, in the dreamland of insanity, the feeling of importance that has. Schwab says that he was
feeling
paid
like
the salary largely
I grew up
because
in a town that was,
of his ability
that was
to deal with people.
Pretty,
I asked him how did he do it.
Income savvy. I mean, you had a lot of people that had income. I
Here's
didn't
the
from
secret.
That
sit down
income.
In his own
and there was no
Word
other way.
Ought to be cast in eternal bronze and hung in every home and school, every shop and every office in the land. Words that children ought to memorize instead of wasting their time memorizing the conjunction of Latin verbs or the amount of annual rainfall in Brazil. Words that will all but transform your life and mine if we will only live them. What are you saying?
No, buddy, we lost you. You went blank.
Oh, okay. Do I need to start over?
So, no, I was just picking up, telling about a little bit about my life story, but go ahead, pick up where you were.
Okay. Schwab says that he is paid this large salary because of his ability to deal with people. I asked him how he did it. Here in his secret, set down in his own words, words that ought to be cast in eternal bronze and hung in every home and every school, every shop and every office in the land. Words that children ought to memorize instead of wasting their time memorizing the conjunction of Latin verbs or the amount of annual rainfall in Brazil. Words that will all but transform your life and mine if we will only live by them. The quote is, "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among my people," Schwab said, "the greatest asset I possess, and the way to develop the best that is in a person by appreciation and encouragement. There is nothing else that kills the ambition of a person as criticism from superiors. I never criticize anyone. I believe in giving a person incentive to work. So I am anxious to praise, but loathe to find fault. If I like anything, I am hearty in my appreciation and lavish with my praise." Heed those words. I am hearty in my appreciation and lavish in my praise. He says here, Carnegie praised his associates publicly as well as privately. Carnegie wanted to praise his assistants. Even on his tombstone, he wrote the epitaph for himself, which reads, "Here lies one who knew how to get around him men who were more clever than himself. Here lies one who knew how to get around him men who were more clever than himself." Even in his dying words, even on his tombstone, he gives praise that he's where he's at today because he surrounded himself with smarter men than him. Listen, flattery is counterfeit. And like counterfeit money, it will eventually get you in trouble if you pass it to someone else. The difference between appreciation and flattery, that is simple. One is sincere and the other is insincere. One comes from the heart out, and the other from the teeth out. One is unselfish, the other is selfish. One is universally admired, and the other is universally condemned. Don't be afraid of enemies who attack you. Be afraid of the friends who flatter you. Teach me neither to pro-offer nor receive cheap praise. That's all flattery is, cheap praise. I once read a definition of flattery that may be worth repeating. Flattery is telling the other person precisely what he thinks about himself. Ooh, good grief. Somehow we neglect to praise our son or daughter when he or she brings them a good report card, and we fail to encourage our children when they first succeed in baking a cake or building a birdhouse. Nothing pleases children more than this kind of parental interest and approval. Next time you enjoy filet mignon at the club, send words to the chef about how excellently it was prepared. And when a tired salesperson shows you an unusual courtesy, please mention it. What applies to professionals applies doubly to workers in office, shops, and factories, and our families and friends. Try leaving a friendly trail of sparks of gratitude on your daily trips. You will be surprised how they will set small flames of friendship that will be rose beacons on your next visit. Okay? Hurting people not only does not change them, it is never called for. There's an old saying that I have cut out and pasted on my mirror where I cannot help but to see it every day. I shall pass this way but once, any good. Therefore, that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Emerson said, every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn from him. Principle number two, give honest and sincere appreciation. Say what?
Yeah, so that's it. Just be honest and sincere. Tell people what you really think. That's it.
And be honest. Don't just tell them what they want to hear. Don't BS people, you know. People see through BS, you know. There's an old movie I love. It's called The Breaks. It's an ignorant movie. If you have time to kill and you just like dumb comedies, watch it. In the dumb comedy, he tells Derek, his nephew, he says, your bullshit may sound like poetry to you, but to everybody else, it sounds like exactly what it is. Bullshit. Don't bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. So don't bullshit people, guys. Be real, real, son.
Yeah. I love it. So what else did you get from this? Was there anything else? Now, what I got is what I was talking about, why we lost you, is that the people that are listening matter. You matter. Not your dreams, that your goals, your visions. Yes, those are important, but what matters most is you. And treat people how you want to be treated, honestly.
Sure.
Think,
that's the golden rule, though, right? That's the golden rule, right? Is to treat others how you want to. What's going on?
Nothing. I just kissed my bicep.
Okay.
But,
okay.
I treat people.
I'm sorry. For those
hey,
of you
to be professional
who don't
here.
Know. No, okay, okay. I'm sorry. You're the one over there kissing your bicep. Guys, I have to give you a quick rundown, and you'll understand why I'm laughing so hard. Matt and I just got home from the gym about an hour ago. On the way from home, as soon as we both left the gym, we called each other, and we walked out of the gym together and got in the car and drove back to our respected places where we podcast from. Matt has stayed in his gym clothes because we've been on the phone. We hadn't showered yet. We both drank our protein, ate our protein bars. Matt is wearing a purple shirt, but the sleeves are cut off. It's cut real thin, so it's really showing his traps. It's really showing his arms. And he's actually sent me two photos of what he's wearing to podcast. So I know he's wearing a shirt with no sleeves. I know he feels jacked because we just left the gym about an hour and 15 minutes ago. We're in the middle of it. For those of you who want to know more about our real personalities, here is Matt doing a serious podcast but not wearing a sleeveless shirt and takes a moment out of telling you something to kiss his own bicep.
Thank goodness. If you're watching it, I'm not on Meerkat or Periscope right now. Thank goodness. No, I actually want to be because this camera angle that I'm at right now is only chest and up, and I'm killing it right now in this t-shirt. But if we did below the chest, no, I can't do it. So, can't do it. Anything below the chest.
All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry, but that was I couldn't help it. That was hilarious.
So, the reason why I talk to you guys this way, because I want to be serious on this podcast, and sometimes I don't let my personality come through because I don't want to be taken out of context, and I don't want to be like, oh, he's just too joking, you know? So there will be times every once in a while that I'll let it out.
Yeah, the problem is, guys,
because I don't want to scare you away.
The problem is, guys, you're missing out. You are missing out on his personality. He might be the funniest guy I've ever met in my entire life. But when he's on the show, he believes, like, no laughing, no entertaining. Let's just push out knowledge. And I'm like, no, we've got to entertain these people as well as educate and push our product. We can't just be robots, you know, with no personality. So that was hilarious. That just shows you who Matt is, kissing his bicep.
Right.
Well, that's all the show we have.
You want to know? You want to know something funny?
I do.
Okay, so I was going through Instagram and I ran across this quote. It said, "The quote of the day is, if you're having a
do you want to save this quote to end the show?
No.
Okay. Is that good?
If anyone is having a bad day, remember that on this day in 1976, Ronald Wayne sold his 10% stake in Apple for $800. Now it's worth $58,625,210,000.
You almost said too honey.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Nobody's having a worse intrigue than that guy.
Right.
What we're saying right now is buy into books, life, and stuff right now because we will be worth $1 billion someday.
So if you haven't heard, this is another good thing that I read on Facebook this morning, is that if you're not following Matt and Tiger BLF on iTunes, Instagram, or Facebook, you lost the game.
Oh, you lost.
Because they drop knowledge.
I saw that.
Like, we dropping bombs.
Ooh.
Like, Steph Curry drops threes. That's how much knowledge.
Ooh.
So.
Guys, follow us. Rate, review us on
follow
iTunes.
Follow us,
kiddos.
Rate us, review us. You can talk negative about us. My wife talks negative about me all the time. It's whatever. Any kind of criticism is good criticism, eh? Because we can't build it,
but
we don't know.
But with your wife, when you only hear criticism, how does it make you feel?
Anyways, let's go on. So, how do you develop a reputation?
A what? A reputation?
Repetition
is simply by doing something over things over and over and over. I don't know. I don't know how to build a reputation. That's a good question. What are your thoughts on that?
I think your reputation is your word. Really, if you say you're going to be there, and people will notice that. I used to have a horrible reputation, and it still follows
sure.
me to this day. Like, seriously.
Still follows you to this day.
I used to be the biggest offender. I'd be like, you know what, I'll be there in 20 minutes. 2 weeks later, never did show. That was Flake. And I would elaborate. I would elaborate on the truth every once in a while, and still to this day, 10 years later, people give me a hard time.
Well, hold on. Back it up. Don't we all elaborate on the truth, though, at times?
No,
don't we
I don't.
All
I say
make
the truth.
Pee-pee. I think we all sometimes tell a joke a little funnier. We add a line here, add a line there. A reputation is simply what people think of you. I sent Matt a message today because he is my growth partner in life. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find something right now, so give us some filler, Matt.
Okay. Cool story. So let's talk about Papa John.
Hold on.
Today.
No, because I don't know enough about it yet, so I don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Oh,
so I asked Matt a question, and you don't have a computer up, so you can't Google it with me. Best. Okay, here's why you ignored it, because I said best 4-4 learning to take initiative. You didn't understand the question, so you just ignored it. I need the best book for learning to take initiative. When I write down my flaws, because you shouldn't just write down your things you're good at. You should write them both down. I have a list at my house of 5 things that I feel that I am exceptionally good at, and I'm brutally honest with myself. And I have 5 things that I feel like I am terrible at. Just terrible. One of the things that I am just terrible at is initiative. I want to be in leadership and management as bad as I want to breathe. However, I'm not good at leadership and management. It's not my skill set. What I'm good at doing is if Matt came to my job and said, here's a list of five things I want done today, Tiger, by 5 o'clock. I want these five things done by 5 o'clock. It has to get done. I will bada bing, bada boom, bam. I will get them done. By 3 o'clock, I will show up at your desk and I will say, Mr. Waits, I've completed every task that you've given me today with 2 hours to spare. Okay, great. Do what you think needs to get done for the rest of the 2 hours. I will wander around, ponder, and I will kill those 2 hours and just start my day the next day. I can't take initiative and get things done. I'm better at following directions than creating new projects. I don't like that aspect about me. I don't like to be honest about that, but that is one of my biggest flaws. I'm great at following instructions and completing things in a timely manner. I am terrible with self-management and coming up with a list on my own. I would never come up with that list of five things, but if you give me the list of five things, I will smoke them. What book would help me the most when learning to take initiative? Last night, I had a talk with my lead late last night, and that's the first thing he told me. He said, Tiger, honestly, man, you need to learn initiative. You don't take initiative for anything. You wait for instructions to be given for you, to be given to you, and then you crush it. I need to see more initiative out of you. I need to see you taking the first steps without being told to do it. And I'm like, oh, it's not my skill set. It's not what I'm good at. I believe
because you have no passion for it, my friend.
No passion?
That's exactly what it comes down to me. If I mean, they're asking you to do something you don't really care for. Now, let me point you into a couple of books, 7 Habits for Highly Effective People or John C. Maxwell, The 360 Leader. That'd be two pretty good books that I know of. That would probably get you off to that. But then
well, good.
Again,
I definitely will read them because I want to do this. I want to get into leadership and management. I just know that I'm not very good at leadership and management. That's why I want to be better. But taking initiative, I also think that a good leader knows where his people are strong and weak.
Uh-huh.
And I think whenever you can look at someone who's weak at something and say, I need to see more out of that than you, I think you're not doing it right. I think I should be forgive me for saying it this way, I don't have a better way, but Tiger's the get shit done guy. Don't make Tiger the delegator guy. I'm not good at delegating. What?
I said watch your potty mouth.
Ooh, for sure.
PG-13 show.
For sure. Call me what? Who am I sounding like tonight?
You sounding like somebody that doesn't respect themselves, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I dropped some curse words earlier.
No, I'm sounding like somebody that's very frustrated in class. So, Mr. Matty Moe, I believe I could get better at that. And I want to get better at that. I want to be good at leadership and management. I want to be a guy who walks into a room and says, this needs to get done, versus saying, here's a list, and then being great at getting it done. I want to take that weakness and make it a positive. What books do you suggest?
7 Highly Effective
Habits.
Yeah, by Stephen Covey. John C. Maxwell, The 360 Leader. Anything of his books, he talks about good leadership. Let's go Richard Branson. Anything, Think Like a Virgin is a good one. And honestly, if you can't get to the store or you can't go find, if you can't find the book that you're looking for, get on YouTube. Yeah, get on YouTube. Search it. Google it. I bet you can find something.
Best answer ever.
Yeah, for real. We all have smartphones. We all have internet capability. Just do it that way.
Oh.
Education is out there, my friend.
Thank you. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, education's
that
out there. You just got to look for it.
Well, you know what? The strongest oak of the forest is not the one that is protected from the storm and hidden from the sun. It's the one that stands out in the open when it is compelled to struggle for existence against the wind, rains, and scorching sun. Who quoted that?
Amen.
Mr. Napoleon Hill.
I love Napoleon Hill. I just got one of his books the other day. The Power of Positive Thinking.
Ooh, I love that you love him.
No, wait, that's not Napoleon Hill. Jeez. Think and Grow Rich is Napoleon Hill. Norman Vincent Peale is the one I'm thinking of. Jeez, Matthew. Come
why do you look a lot like my man crush? Ryan Reynolds.
I think it's just because of genetics.
Just
I mean,
wonderful,
if you could,
beautiful genetics.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is 6'2", so if you brought him down to 6 foot and put about 100 pounds on him, we would look exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
If you ask it in Spanish. Ooh. Or at least tell me that you have a question in Spanish. Say, yo tengo.
Yo tengo.
Una.
Una.
Pregunta.
Pregunta. So the question
I
is,
say, ¿qué es la pregunta? Now go ahead. And I say,
so,
what is the question?
The question is your television set, can it make you rich or can it make you poor? We've had this discussion before.
Ooh.
I want to really
Ooh.
Dive into that.
Ooh.
Because I almost bought a new TV the other day.
Well, you should.
And
because
no,
we all
no,
should
let me,
reward
let me start
ourselves.
Off with this. So I walked into Best Buy, and they had the LG TV I've been wanting, the smart TV. The 55-inch LG smart TV. I'm here,
uh-huh.
I'm here. My headset's going dead. Walked into Best Buy, had a 55-inch LG, the new smart 4K, whatever it is, on
sure.
sale. And Laura's like, do you think we should get that? I looked at her and I was like, I can't justify buying a TV because I will spend more time in front of the TV than I will learning or building my brand or my future. Now, can your TV make you rich or can it make you poor?
That's depends. If you have Netflix, you can look up TED Talks because Netflix has TED Talks.
Right, right. I'm on TED Talks religiously. I got them on my phone. I'm reading a book about it because I want to be on TED Talks. I want us to be on TED Talks this year. TEDx. Because Speaker does TEDx. So, does it make you rich or does it make you poor?
It makes you poor in the beginning, but it makes you rich with entertainment. It makes you rich with socialization. And it makes you rich with
bonding yourself?
Time with you and with your friends. Like, I have everybody over for UFC fights. It brings me rich in comfort with my friends. It brings me rich in love with my wife at night when we lay down and we watch TV together. It makes me wealthy and or rich in knowledge whenever I look up things like TEDx talks and I watch them on Netflix on my TV. But it also makes me poor in the investment of buying a $3,000 TV. But I also see that it's worth it because everyone who works hard should reward themselves with relaxation. So sometimes it's nice just to watch TV. When you put in a real day's worth of work, a real work, when you've hustled on your craft, you deserve an hour a day to watch the best TV that you can possibly get your hands on.
That's how I unwind. But I've caught myself many times, like we'll be laying in bed because you're right, we both do wake up before the sun comes up and we work until the sun goes down. We outwork the sun daily. And then I catch myself, I come home, I do the podcast, I do everything for our show, and whenever I come home, like when it's time for bed, uh-huh. I'm either reading on my phone and not paying attention to my wife like I should be. You know, like media, just like we talked earlier, media, social media is helping and hurting us. Our phones are helping us and hurting us, because I feel like sometimes my phone has driven a wedge between my relationships, not only in my marriage, but with my friendships. They've brought me closer, but also have taken me away. You had a guy
double-edged sword.
Talk to you about that, didn't you?
Double-edged sword. Today I was walking out of my work at a casino right after the gym. I worked out at the casino hotel at the gym there. I was walking out and I had my earpiece around my neck, my phone in my shirt pocket, and my headset in. And I was walking out and an older gentleman, probably 75 years old, came up to me and he said, hey, son. And I had my name tag on and still from work. And I said, yeah. And I pulled my earpieces out so I could hear him. Matt was just on hold at that point. And he said, you know, back in my day, we didn't have a name tag. We had to remember people's names. He said, back in my day, we didn't have earpieces, cell phones in our pocket. We had everything that we wanted to know, we had to remember. And I said, you're right. And I said, I live and grew up in a generation with a memory that only lasts for a few minutes. My memory only lasts long enough that I need it to, because there's something else that will consume my thoughts. He's right. Back in the day, somebody would come up to you one time and say, my name is Matt. And the rest of that day, you needed to remember his name. Now, any convention you go to, any meetings that you go to, anything like that, you always get that name tag that says, hi, my name is, and then you fill it in with a marker. Back in the day, they didn't have that. Huh?
What? You said, hi, my name is, and I said, Slim Shady. Go ahead. Sorry,
oh,
it was just being immature.
No, it's fun. So, you know, they had to remember that stuff. Telephone numbers. How many telephone numbers do you remember off the top of your head right now?
Bro, I only know my parents and my brothers and yours,
yeah.
And that's it. That's all I know.
And not even your wife. Yeah, but guys, back in the day, people knew phone numbers, 25 phone numbers on the top of their head. Their 25 closest to contacts were just memorized. We don't memorize that stuff. Matt talks about we live in a world with instant gratification, instant satisfaction, instant knowledge. And that's how long that knowledge stays in our mind, for an instant. Until we move on, we don't deeply know anything anymore. We know surface values of a lot of things, but we don't know anything deeply anymore. So, you know, spend some time in thought. That old man was right. But we got to get back to that. We got to get back to using our minds.
Yeah, our nation, well, not just our nation, but our generation is becoming like the movie Idiocracy. No joke. Like, for real. Idiocracy. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Love that movie. Because it's so true. We are starting to become like that. We've lost touch with ourselves and one another.
Yeah. It's tough. We got to get back to where we were.
Well, my friend, do you have any advice on a new book besides this book? Like, if someone wanted to pick up just like a one-day read, if someone wanted to pick up like a one-day read, do you have any suggestions? It could be magazines, it could be books, it can be movies, anything. Any suggestion for this weekend?
Yes, a book that you can read in a day is Richest Man in Babylon. It's going to be tough. The first three chapters suck. It's wrote in old English, but if you will dedicate the time, force yourself to read it by the fourth chapter, you will not be able to put that book down. You should be able to read it in about 3 or 4 hours. Trust me. Clear those 4 hours and read that book this weekend. Matt, what's a book that you can read in a day or a magazine that someone should read that takes 2 to 4 hours?
You know what I really like? Men's Health, GQ, Esquire. I love those fashion magazines, man. My one true passion I should have got into a long time ago was men's fashion. So should have got into that.
Yeah, well, it's something you've been very passionate about for years. So definitely.
I'm still into it. We run Men's Style on Sunday, Style Sunday, and it's a great show. You should tune in and listen to it. It's an amazing show.
It's a fun show. It absolutely, without a doubt, is a fun show. Speaking of fun shows that we got coming up, Matt, tomorrow is Friday. It's going to be a drive home 30-minute show. We're just going to recap our thoughts from the day. Matt might find us a list like so-and-so's top list for leadership or success or so-and-so's top 10 list for fill in the blank. And we'll probably discuss that for 30 minutes on a drive home from work.
Yeah, throw out a name. Let's pick a name. We'll do that every Friday, top 10 list. Throw out a name, and I'll find them. I'll do
Charlie Munger.
We already did Charlie Munger.
No, we didn't end up doing that show. You canceled it.
Okay, well, forget that. We're not doing Charlie Munger. Let's do somebody else.
Well, that's why
I wanted
to do Charlie Munger. I wanted to do Charlie Munger because you said it sucked. You were like, bro, it's going to be a sucky episode anyways. I wanted to know what sucked about it so much.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to go ahead and pick... let's pick
someone cool. Find, what's his name? Hold on. John C. Maxwell. Top 10 list
John
for
C.
leadership.
Maxwell.
Or top... Yep. Find some sort of top 10 list from John C. Maxwell.
Got it. I'm on it. John C. Maxwell. I was thinking about like Dr. Dre or somebody cool, but John C. Maxwell sounds cool.
Dr. Dre? No. No thanks, man.
The first hip-hop billionaire? You don't want to hear about him? What he has to say?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I want something that I can apply. His life will not apply to ours.
Talking
Matt,
about that, yo, what's up?
Oh, go ahead. I was going to end the show.
No. All I wanted to do is say, if you haven't seen the movie Dope, I started watching it last night, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So you might want to
check
that out
awesome.
If you haven't seen that movie
check
Dope.
Check it
mm-hmm,
out. I have
mm-hmm.
not seen it, so I will.
It's
Matt,
on Netflix.
I'm going to end this with a quote. I'm going to end this with a quote, and you are going to tell us what BLS stands for. My quote
okay.
of the day comes from Mr. Matthew Waits, and it says, "You can have a bad day. You're not allowed to have a bad life."
That's deep. Well,
that's very deep.
As we end this show, as I'm trying to deepen my voice because I absolutely can't stand it, we would like to leave you with this. Coming from a college dropout 3 or 4 times and finally graduating, I never did know what was in me. Now, there's a quote and there's a story that says, first you have to believe before you can achieve. And that's the most important thing to success is you have to see it. You have to believe. Before that plane lands, while you're on it, you have to have the belief and faith that it will land. That's the first step. The second step is learn everything you can. Books are books until you put it into action. You can buy $500 worth of books, but if you can't put that shit into action, then it doesn't count.
Ooh.
And if you add believe, and if you learn everything you can, 100% you will succeed. As always, I'm the college dropout. To my left is my beautiful Tiger Taylor. Good night, everyone.